We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Friday. Thank you very much for joining us. It's very cold, but the streets are in much, much better condition than they were yesterday. So as long as you can handle the cold weather, you should be good to go. The driving conditions yesterday were interesting, to say the least. I had the opportunity to drive all around the city yesterday, and so hopefully everyone stayed safe. I know there were plenty of wrecks and all kinds of madness out there on the roads, but hopefully it'll be better today. But just be prepared, because it is very, very, very cold, and I don't know if how many schools are closed. It's not going to be the same amount of schools closed as yesterday, but get the kids all bundled up and get them ready to finish the week off right on this Friday, January 12th, 2018. Tim Grenhard will heat things up with us at 6:30. He'll be in studio with us until we talk to Gary Lezak. Is this accurate? This says Gary's in studio. Is that a threat?
No.
That's what's going on.
That's
there?
A what, promise.
Why is... To what do we owe the pleasure and honor of having Gary Lezak live in studio?
Getting his ass out of bed on a cold morning.
There's got to be a reason. There's got to be something. Has he written a new book? Is there something to promote? Is he? There's got to be some type of reason. Is he picking up a check? What's going
there
on?
There is
here?
A promotion going on.
Oh, so, is there?
Yeah. An end of a promotion.
Well, all right. That's right.
I thought maybe he was going to bring in some visual aids, like a spread chart or something, as to why the Chiefs need to trade Alex Smith.
Maybe.
I'd like to see that.
He doesn't need to bring that. I've got that right here. He doesn't need to bring that in.
Maybe we might have some more sound from Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, boy.
You're the producer. I don't. You let me know if there's more sound that I can.
Oh, okay.
I'll certainly listen to it.
Well.
And then we'll have the Border Patrol blitz and fast break as, I don't know if there's much. We could ask Gabe DeArmon about Drew Locke's decision to come back. I guess that happened in the past week, so we can certainly bring that up again. But also focus on basketball, some big basketball matchups that we could chat with Gabe DeArmon and Stan Weber and Jesse Newell about. It's rivalry weekend for the local schools.
Oh,
as Kansas takes on Kansas State and Mizzou takes on Arkansas. So
we got the Sunflower Showdown in the I forget what the name of the Missouri Arkansas.
I call that one Mizzou versus Arkansas.
Mizzou Arkansas.
The Mizzou Arkansas game.
The Battle of the Boot.
I don't. You know.
Is that right?
No. It's like the
no.
Borderline or something. Right. The battle line.
Battle lines.
Something. I don't. It's Mizzou versus Arkansas. Is what I'll watch. Is what I'll look forward to at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then to further the discussion on college basketball, we'll have Jarrett Sutton on the show at around 8:30. And then we'll see if we can play some Listen or Lose for the first time in a while to end the show and end the week right. As I mentioned, it's a big weekend in college basketball. The early tip-off that Greg Gurley was so excited about when he was on the show earlier this week, Kansas and Kansas State in Lawrence will tip off at 11 a.m.
I hate it.
On ESPN and Sports Radio 810 WHB. That gives you something to do right off the bat. You don't have to wait.
Why do you hate it, Jake?
I don't know. Saturday morning, you need to take care of some business.
There's a lot. See, with Jake, I could tell you why. I was just getting ready to say that. It seems like the thing, whenever he has to take business or schedule things or has things to do, it's in the morning.
Yeah.
That's his time to get some things done. And then he prepares for the evening of watching sports and carousing.
Yeah, I think 2 o'clock is about as early as I want to start anything, like in terms of leisure, like to sit down and watch some sports. 2 o'clock seems like, unless it's a noon Sunday. Sunday's different than
Saturday.
Well, that too.
Right.
A noon.
Isn't every Sunday a nude Sunday?
Well, yeah.
Just depends on where you are, I guess.
In the Gutierrez household, it's every day.
11 a.m., you just get right to it. You don't have time to do much. Get up, maybe go have yourself a meal.
Brunch.
Some breakfast or something, and get after it. Either you guys going out there for the big showdown, the sunflower showdown.
I can't believe you don't wish that you had a catchy name like that for your rivalry.
Great. All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
I mean, there's nothing really gets you going thinking about a rivalry named after
over
a flower.
Yeah.
You
right.
know?
Fighting over flowers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Beautiful flower.
So I take the fact that both of you guys ignored that question.
No, I'm not going.
So.
I would like to, but it's too early.
Too early for Jake.
Would you like to?
Yeah. I was seriously considering it.
So then, what made the early decision start?
I have stuff going on. Well, I have stuff going on at 9 and 10 in the morning on Saturday, and it's not going to allow me to get to Lawrence in time.
So, you don't have time for that.
No.
We got Saturdays at this stage in my life are loaded with youth basketball games and ballet practice and, all those types of things. So, I'm actually glad about the 11 o'clock start because my son's basketball game is until in the afternoon. So it doesn't I'll be able to sit down and watch the game and still make my son's basketball game. So.
I scoff at this 11 a.m. Tip-off considering I will lead the St. Gabe's second and third grade girls into action at 8:40 a.m. So at St. Pius.
Now that's an early start.
And with our head coach out of town on business, I'm the interim head coach.
Philip going to give you a hand on the bench?
He's going to whether he wants to or not.
I like it.
He's
no
already
choices.
I made him up at one practice.
Good.
And so he's going to be forced to sit on the bench.
He's going
to
be your bench coach?
Yeah. Just,
charge of substitutions?
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's really going to be in charge of anything. He's just going to be over there and make sure everyone
hold this clipboard
behaves. I mean, look, those are his stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Right.
He goes to St. Pius. He played several years at St. Gabe's.
He's got some CYO experience.
He knows the ropes.
He's right in his wheelhouse. And so we have a doubleheader at 8:40, and then right after that a 9:30 tip-off. So we get two games in, hopefully, if the weather allows. I haven't even looked at the Saturday forecast. But, if there's like one drop of ice, everyone cancels everything. So if there's any problems whatsoever, it'll all be canceled. So hopefully it won't. The girls want to play. I'm sure their parents, some parents will be very excited if the 8:40 tip off is canceled. they won't be arguing about it. But and then I got the rest. Well, I'm going to St. Joe tomorrow night, so I'll be hitting the road tonight. Richie and Minor Rewind, they play at Llewellyn's and Lee Summit Friday night rock and roll, and then Saturday night they play at Cafe Acoustic up in St. Joe. So I'll be at Lee Summit tonight. Maybe I'll see Lebo, coach of basketball. Got a triumphant return to St. Joe. Always happy to go see my friends up in St. Joe on a Saturday night to watch my kid play some rock and roll. So, and in between, like I said, man, I had a great schedule. Everything just worked out perfectly. Coaching the girls basketball in the morning, watching some of these Big 12 basketball games in the early afternoon. I was going to watch Mizzou and Arkansas that tips off at 5 o'clock. I feel like that's a good tip-off time for you, Jake. You'd like to have that.
Perfect.
Right there, 5 o'clock. And then you've got time to do things afterwards, just drop it right in there. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so
early evening is perfect.
And it would just play. And then I was going to go right into Chiefs, Patriots after Mizzou and Arkansas. And then Richie doesn't hit the stage up in St. Joe on Saturday night until 10. It was just like everything perfect. It was just so perfect. It never works out that way. Except for one thing didn't work out the way it was supposed to. And I'll let you guess what happened. Because I'm not building my schedule around Titans and Patriots, shockingly.
I think Sunday is the day. I think Sunday's going to be a great day of football. Those games on Sunday are going to be awesome. I think. I'm hoping.
Depends on who wins them.
Right. Well, I think that's going to be the best day of football. I think that Saints-Vikings matchup.
I hope. I mean, I could actually see. I can see scenarios where all four of these games are duds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So because nobody would blink an eye if let's start off with Eagles and Falcons if Nick Foles couldn't do anything right. And Philadelphia's offense was terrible and the Falcons just worked them. And it was a non-compelling game, right?
Well, it's like four great quarterbacks against four very average to mediocre quarterbacks.
But like if it turned out the way the game did between the Falcons
would not,
and the Rams.
Would not be shocking.
And then Philadelphia fans are booing. And I mean,
well, it'd be shocking to me. I know that's not right. Going to happen.
But I mean, and then is anyone going to be surprised if the Patriots work the Titans?
Nope. 13.5 points.
And then we're sitting there watching. Like,
expect it.
And then throughout the third and fourth quarter, Twitter will be, how in the hell did the Chiefs lose to this team? Are you serious?
Yep.
That could certainly happen.
We expect it.
And then we're hoping that the Jags can do something with the Steelers, but would anyone be surprised if the Steelers went ham on the Jags and Bortles is firing interceptions everywhere and they can't do anything and that's a dud? And then lastly, like, I think the only chance of the Vikings and the Saints to be a bad game is if the Saints, like Drew Brees or their running game, it's so dynamic, you know, they're part of a one-team shootout and the Vikings can't do anything because, you know, Case Keenum's the quarterback and what worked in the regular season doesn't work in the playoffs. They could all be bad games. Hopefully it's not. What game has the best chance to be good?
Saints-Vikings.
I think so, because the Vikings playing at home, Saints going on the road.
The Vikings' defense is really good, and you know they can stop the run pretty well, so they can make the Saints, you know, of course, last week the Saints' run game got stopped, and Drew Brees just, you know, took over. So, but the Vikings are 5-point faves, so, you know, I think that's going to be a good game.
I think I'd be all over the Saints on that one.
I'm with you. I'm calling for a Saints win. Yeah. But Vegas is usually, you know, pretty smart. So
Vikings win by a field goal.
But I'm with you on all those, I mean, on all those scenarios. The Falcons are the first, so the Eagles are the first number one seed to be an underdog in the divisional round in NFL history. I read that yesterday.
Probably one of the few times that the NFL candidate or MVP candidate got knocked out too.
Right.
So I mean, that late in the stage,
and we get a chance to watch his backup look like garbage two games in a row.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes it that like increases the reasoning for it. And the Falcons are good. You know,
which AFC team has a better chance to pull the upset?
Jags.
Yeah.
Hands down.
No, why not? Hey, the Titans just went to Arrowhead Stadium and won.
Because the Titans are not elite in anything, and the Jags, you could at least make a case, are elite defensively.
The last six teams in the playoffs have come into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs.
No. I listen to this show. I listen to this radio station a lot.
Okay.
Okay? And I try to write down stats and figures.
I get paid to listen to it from 6 to 10. That's it.
Do you understand
sometimes
that the Titans... shut out the all-time leader, the best playoff statistics-wise, the best playoff quarterback of all time in Alex Smith. They shut him out in the second half.
Hmm.
And you're just going to turn your nose up at that?
Best all-time?
14 touchdowns and
how many Super
two
Bowls?
Interceptions. Because again, now that the one-loss record doesn't work in the argument, now we focus on Alex Smith's stats. Because when his stats didn't work in the argument, you focus on his record. Because that's the way it works. Don't you understand that? Now we're told to ignore the fact that teams that he's been the quarterback of are 1-4 in Kansas City in the playoffs, but he's got the great touchdown interception ratio. But when his numbers weren't great, well, let me look at his record. So I mean, well, I don't know why you're being such a dummy about that.
Because I'm a big dummy.
The Titans are quite impressive. Now that you put it in those terms, right. I've got them beating the Patriots.
Right. Yeah. I mean, shut him down in the second half. I mean, look, they were able to hold the NFL's leading rusher under 50 yards. They were able to hold him under 11.
Holding
Matt Nagy's play card?
did they not hold the NFL's leading rusher under 50 yards?
Yeah,
they did.
Absolutely.
Somebody did. I don't know if they did.
Just want to sit here.
I don't know.
I don't know if they did or if Matt Nagy did.
Fact.
Why aren't you? I mean, why won't you?
Credit where credit's due, Nate.
Why won't you?
That's true.
Right.
Now that you put it in those terms, the Titans, if they can come into Arrowhead and win, they can go anywhere and win. Right. No, I take that back, because anybody can come to Arrowhead and win in the playoffs.
Right.
Literally any NFL team can come here and win in the playoffs, except the Chiefs.
Well, that would be true. That part's true. They can't win. That Arrowhead mystique, unfortunately for all of us, is now just a complete myth. Really, even the regular season sometimes. I mean, we act like this is such a surprise. I don't know if anyone wants to check their schedules, but Tennessee did the same thing last year at the end of the year when the games were important.
Clearly a bad matchup for the Chiefs.
Right. And Buffalo did it earlier this year. I mean, it's like both of these home playoff losses were lost to teams that have also both won in the last year in the regular season. So neither one of those were flukes. Pittsburgh won at the end of last year in the postseason. Tennessee won at the end of last year in the regular season. And they both backed those wins up with wins again this year in important games. So there was no luck there. That's what they do. Because how much of an upset was it then? How much of an upset really was it, to be honest? Was it really an upset?
I mean, if you take history into account, but if you take, like, what were they? Chiefs were double-digit favorites, weren't they? Going into the game?
Why?
Well, because they are a much better team than the Tennessee Titans.
What was their record?
10-6.
What was Tennessee's record?
9-7.
Last time they played, who won?
Tennessee.
So why?
Because the Chiefs.
But in retrospect, why? Because was it just the tremendous postseason home field advantage the Chiefs enjoy?
That
line closed to 8.5.
I mean, that's still pretty big,
right? So, but then I ask you why?
I mean, I look at those two teams, and I still maintain that if the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a far better team than the Titans.
You ignore the 8 quarters that have been played at Arrowhead Stadium in the last year?
I mean, they're not far better. I mean, they just aren't.
I guess not.
They just aren't.
But
they were more flashy when they were good. The Chiefs looked better when they were at their best, but we saw a stretch there where the Chiefs lost to some horrible teams.
I mean, those are the facts. They were a game better, and they've lost to that team twice at Arrowhead in a little over a year. And so I because I heard someone yesterday, I mean, that was just a huge upset. And I'm like, well, was it? I mean, I'm with you. I thought they were going to win. But now, in retrospect, I was an idiot. It's stupid. And it was all just right there. And so a team has done it twice in the last year, and there's not a whole lot of difference in their regular season records. Like, why do we think this was such a huge upset?
I'm probably underestimating how bad the Chiefs' defense is when I say all that, because offensively, I mean, I just don't even think it's close, you know. But defensively, I guess there's a, you know, Chiefs were horrible defensively this year. They were flat out terrible.
That's right.
And you know, the offense didn't help any in the second half either. So
no, we just look at it through, you know,
because I'm thinking about like Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. You look at, you know, I know stats, but you look at Alex Smith's stats versus Mariota's stats this year. Not even in comparison, you know. And so I think that's not close. But then I should think about the fact that the Chiefs, like, in all the adjusted metrics and stuff, are like the worst defensive team in the AFC this year. You know, so.
And Derrick Henry seemed good.
He's good.
In that game.
Yeah, he's good. So I don't think he's better than Kareem Hunt, if you give Kareem Hunt the ball.
Well, I could tell you this. If Derrick Henry had 11 carries, he probably would not have topped 100 yards.
He wouldn't have had 150 or whatever it was.
Some crazy insight there. I will say the Titans' offensive line is probably better than the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs' offensive line was very disappointing this year.
Yeah.
Very inconsistent, but they battled injury. Yeah,
they were inconsistent. They did block for the league's leading rusher. And, you know, I didn't think Alex Smith, you know, in years past, I thought he's had the excuse of not having any time to throw. But I thought he had, you know. I mean, he faced some pressure this year, but not some crazy amount.
Mitchell Schwartz was interviewed by Robert Klemko of Monday Morning Quarterback, and raved about Alex Smith, and Mitchell Schwartz blamed the offensive line for the Chiefs' midseason swoon. Did you read that?
I did read that, and I thought some of it was interesting. But, you know, he plays on the offensive line, so I think that that's a smart player who puts whatever unit he plays on, puts the blame on them for the losses. You know?
And if there was ever any doubt why Jeff Schwartz poo-poos any Twitter talk about Patrick Mahomes or anything else, then that absolutely removes any doubt of where he gets that opinion from. I mean, he also played here, too, but, you know. Oh, well. Fun talk. We'll talk to Tim Grunhard and see if he can come in and make sense of everything. Coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, January 12th, 2018. It's very cold outside, but now we turn the heat up with Tim Grunhard.
Hey!
Look at his arrived look at this guy in studio. Bouncing in.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
You look chipper.
Got your haircut, didn't you?
I did. Fresh haircut. New attitude.
You sound better.
Trying to get my voice back a little bit.
Right. You feel better?
I feel better. I feel better listening to you guys this morning.
Oh, really? Do you?
I feel so much better. I feel great. Got basketball at 11 o'clock in the morning. See, 11 o'clock in the morning is perfect for me. Early morning.
I'm already
gives you
nice.
More
yeah,
time
that's
to
right.
party after the game.
I'm already warmed right? up and ready to go at 11. Let's go.
Let's just do it. Well, you're going to be up to 10 o'clock at night? Wow. How do you, like, function that late at night?
Oh, 10, I'm just going to be
I'm
getting
in
started
bed
at 10
o'clock.
O'clock
at night. I'm in bed. When you go up to St. Joe's and you're driving.
He starts at 10.
I can't even fathom
He'll get off the stage
guys,
at 1 a.m.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old.
No, I don't... I try to get a little sleep here and there during the day, but my biggest problem is I don't go to sleep early. And I think Jake has that problem too. I can't.
Yeah.
No, not me.
I can't go to sleep before midnight.
Like, I get literally between 3 to 5 hours of sleep.
Even if I lay down, I can't go to sleep before midnight. If I can go to sleep ever, like by 11:30, that's good. That's pretty good.
If I make it past the weather, it's a miracle.
Yeah, I can't.
10:20.
Luzak puts you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Watching him.
Looking at Gary, just Gary's voice. Wow. Just puts me right to sleep.
You know what?
Right.
Gary's going to be in studio just for you, Tim.
Is he coming in
today? He's coming in to
wonderful
see
for you.
All right.
He's coming in to see us.
He's bringing that dog in.
7:45.
He's bringing the dog. Mm. How you guys doing?
Horrible.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys since Saturday.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know, it was fine during the week because, you know, I focused on some college basketball, the NFL. Yeah. I was able to push that aside. Mm-hmm. Now it's Friday. I know we're going to talk football with you. Now, you know,
we're going to talk football.
Everyone's talking about the matchups this weekend. We've got to address it.
I haven't looked at any of them.
The Chiefs are doing things. They hired a new running backs coach to replace Eric Bieniemy.
Which is great for Notre Dame because he's an unbelievable recruiter. So I'm so happy that he's gone from USC. He is by far the best recruiter at University of Southern California.
Dylan McCullough?
Best recruiter there. Unbelievable guy. Great coach.
USC running backs coach. He has the reputation of being one of the best
unbelievable recruiter.
Running backs coaches and recruiters in the nation. Is that right?
He's no Andy Hill, but he's close.
So the recruiting part's not going to help him so much with the Chiefs. He must be a really good coach.
No. Right? I don't care about that.
He's not recruiting against Notre Dame
anymore.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't care if he's going to recruit for the Chiefs or not.
No, I'm just saying, like,
not worried about that at all. I'm glad that he's not recruiting against Notre Dame anymore.
But we're worried about him being a good coach.
A good coach.
Yeah.
How you guys? What do you think of Eric Bieniemy?
We'll work our way backwards. What do you think of it? We talked about it for the best.
I like what was Eric. Your reaction? I know Eric. I played against Eric.
Yep.
In the Orange Bowl in 1989 season, 1990 Orange Bowl, we beat them. They were number one. We were number three. And we beat them on a long drive at the end of the game. We ran the ball 19 times in a row in the fourth quarter and went down and scored. But he came out before the game, and I talked to him about this before. And I'm like, you know, I hated you. I mean, I despised Eric Bieniemy. I mean, he talked crap the whole week about how they were going to beat us. And then he came out like, on the 50-yard line and faced the whole team and was just being belligerent. And almost caused a big fight before the game, just him himself. And you know, and then I never really like ran into him very much after that till about 2 years ago. And I walked up to him and I was expecting this cocky jackass. And he was the nicest guy
He's
of
great,
all time.
He?
Oh my gosh, what a great guy!
What did he say when you brought that up? What did he say?
And we giggled about it like two little schoolgirls.
Right.
We giggled about that, but. I'm glad he got a chance. I really, you know, he's called plays before. He's been an offensive coordinator. He was in college, obviously.
Colorado, yep.
But, you know what? Hey, he's a good guy. He works hard. He's going to be he'll be a head coach here in the next 5 years. There's no doubt about it. Nope. Yep.
And I saw
it seems like all their offensive coordinators just leave in about a year.
And I saw somebody, that was surprised because, like you said, of the reputation of McCullough as a recruiter.
Yeah.
What a great college coach, and the trajectory of where he was headed.
Right.
In college football. Like, why would he leave USC? I'm thinking, what, if you are any type of offensive coach
in
the nation,
he's this guy.
But you can't
really
wait
tight.
To coach for Andy Reid, because look at his track record of grooming offensive coaches, turning them in to offensive coordinators, and then head coaches, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. So why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Absolutely.
You'd be desperate to coach for Andy Reid if you're an offensive coach.
Now, he made a big decision because he was on the fast track to being a college head coach.
Right.
And decided that, I probably don't want to do this recruiting anymore. Recruiting isn't easy.
And it's not going to hurt him.
It's not really that much fun.
If he goes to the NFL and put that on his resume,
coach
for Andy Reid, that's a huge, huge thumbs up.
But all indications are he'll be an NFL coach, head coach. Uh-huh. I think Eric Bieniemy will be also. I really like Eric. I don't know how he's going to do, guys. I really don't know. I mean, I like him. I think he's a good coach. He's a good guy. He really relates well with the players. Every guy I've talked to that's played for him or has been around him in the locker room and in the offensive rooms said he's a lot of great things about him. He's a hard worker. He's a intense guy. He's very, very motivated.
He knows the offense.
He knows the offense, which is a positive.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more with him.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it. Yeah.
So he's
what do you think?
He's a guy that you think that he's got a great future, and this is another guy that Andy has groomed.
He's grooming.
Bigger and better things.
He's grooming them. Yep.
And then he had a guy in USC that thinks got a future also.
I don't know. I mean, all indications are he's a really, really good coach. He's a good coach. They have a lot of good coaches on that staff at USC. They underachieved a little. I think the quarterback underachieved a little bit more than anybody else. But they underachieved over there this year a little bit. And I think he just said, hey, listen, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. Him and Eric Bieniemy are good buddies. I'm positive that they've done, the coaches clinic, the big one, which was in Charlotte this year, was just going on last week, which if you guys don't know, like every high school coach, head coach, most college coaches, and a couple NFL coaches will go, and it's a big convention, and coaches speak, and it's a way to kind of network to get jobs and let people know you're looking for jobs and all those kind of things. And that just went on. Dave Doran was down there. John Holmes was down there talking with Dave and just a bunch of different guys from around Kansas City. You'd be surprised at how many kids that played high school football here are in college coaching, from the Cashmores who played at St. Pius. They're both college coaches, Willie and Pat. But
Pat.
So this convention was going on, and all indications were that USC, their staff, there was a bunch of guys out there shopping around a little bit.
Right.
So I don't know what that means.
And look, it's in a very attractive spot. We've seen that you can become a head coach, you can become a coordinator if you're on Andy Reid's offensive staff. Now in the commercial break, I want you to think, how many coaches on the defensive side of the football for the Chiefs are coordinator or head coaching candidates? That's a serious question. We see all these offensive coaches under Andy Reid that get talked about and other people want.
Well, everybody seems to like Gibbs, but I don't know.
Is he a coordinator or head coaching candidate moving forward? And you ever hear his name associated with anyone?
It doesn't seem to pop up.
Anybody or anyone over there?
I can't name anybody else. Can you?
No.
Emmett's ready to retire.
Right. Think about that for a minute. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm thinking. Whiskey bottle.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHBOK.
You're in my way.
So we were talking in the commercial break about a wide variety of things.
Yes, we were.
Let's start with Bob Sutton. Do you think the Chiefs are going to retain Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I don't like it.
Why?
I just think they're underachieved. I think they're comfortable. I think the whole defensive staff is comfortable. I think we talked about a couple of them. You know, I think I like Emmett. I've known Emmett a long time, and you know, and he's a great guy, and he's a great part of the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, he looks comfortable. You know, Britt Reed, I think he's comfortable. I just think they're comfortable on that side. I don't know. I mean, not a big fan of the way that they played this year. Obviously, they're the worst defense in the AFC. You know, everybody blames Andy Reid's play calling for, you know, a lot of the issues in the second half of that game. But the reality is that they never had the ball because they came out at half and it was an 8-minute drive for a touchdown, three and out. And then it was another long drive. It was a bunch of long drives where the defense couldn't get the Titans offense off the field. You know, the blocking schemes, they were destroying the line of scrimmage. It didn't look like they got any more aggressive. They didn't. I thought they went to the run blitz game a little bit too late. It still didn't work. So I think they're comfortable, and you know, I think Bob Sutton's comfortable. I think that coaching staff is comfortable, and I would like to see new blood in there. I really would. I would like to see somebody come in there and maybe change the scheme up a little bit. I would like to see the Chiefs go to a 4-3 defense. I really would.
What Jeff Chedid said this week.
I just don't get it. Yeah. I don't get the, you know, the odd defense, the 34 defense is a vogue thing. Okay, I mean, you know, let's just break this down for a second. The reason why a lot of teams go to a 34 defense, obviously, because they feel they can get some athletes to play linebacker. Okay, let's just start at that. You know, you don't have to have as many big guys. It's hard to find big, athletic guys to play defensive line, even though teams, I think, are fine. And I think there's a lot of good college football players right now playing defensive line. Just look at the national championship game. I'd take two or three of those guys right now from Atlanta or from Georgia. But the 34 defense, it causes issues. Why does it cause issues? Because you have to change your blocking schemes. You got to change your terminology. You know, everything from what you call the linebackers to what pass protections you can run to the different schemes in your run blocking or change. Some of the calls change, and you're like, why do calls change? Well, it just does. I mean, you know, a over and under, a bare defense with a 4-3, which means you shift to the strength as an over, you shift to the weak side as an under. A bare is when you sink them all down. When you run against an odd defense, it's called a eagle defense, a double eagle defense, a weak eagle, a strong G. It's just the way that it works. So you have to change terminology a little bit. So I think a lot of defensive coordinators think, okay, well, when they come and play us, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're still working on terminology and they're still working on communication, and it throws them back a day or two. Well, there's a lot of teams running 34 defenses now. There's a lot of teams that do that. So the nuance of the odd defense just isn't there anymore. Okay, and I think the Chiefs should go to a 4-3 defense. I do, and Bob Sutton doesn't do that. I think you can do a lot more things with a 4-3 than you can with an odd, even though the zone blitz has become so popular with the Titans and the Steelers and some other teams that are running it. So
I think the Titans and Steelers are the only teams left in the playoffs that run a 3-4.
Yeah. Yep. And
they are. I just looked at all the depth charts.
You just threw out a lot of terms, all the football terminology. We'll take a break. But what do you describe? How do you describe a defense that continues to feature Frank Zombo in a prominent role? You mentioned a 3-4, so you can get all these impressive linebackers out there on the field. It's like Zombo is what you're talking about,
and
right?
That's a problem.
You want him out there.
And that's a problem.
Right?
When you have injuries, uh-huh. you're going to more like a special teams guy to play at that outside linebacker position, because that's usually kind of where you cultivate special team guys is that outside linebacker position. So Frank Zombo is more of a special teams player that, you know, at times he flashes, but when he got blocked by Mariota on the last play of the game.
Right. At times he makes Mariota look like Tony Baselli.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so.
Okay. I'm just, you know.
So, yeah, I would like to see the Chiefs change up their defensive scheme. I would like to see them get some new blood in there. But I don't think it's going to happen. Okay?
Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, that's the first question I asked you about Bob Sutton. Question number two that we were discussing in the earlier commercial break. Do you believe that Alex Smith will be the quarterback of the Chiefs next year?
I don't think Alex should be.
Do you think he will be?
I hope not. I
don't. When you say he will be.
No, I don't. I'm going to say no.
And you said you don't think he should be.
I don't think he should be. I don't think it's good for him. I don't think it's good for the Chiefs.
How would you feel if he was the quarterback next year?
I mean, it feels like we're kind of, just pushing the reset button every year. All right, and hoping for some different outcome.
Do you think that would be a good decision for the Chiefs?
I don't. I don't think it's a good decision for Alex Smith either.
Do you think he would want? Do you think there's any chance he'll say to Andy Reid, "Look, I'd like to be traded"?
Yeah, I do think there's a chance.
I would if I was him.
I think there's a chance. I also think there's a chance he says he wants to finish his last year here. I don't know why, but there's a chance. Hey, listen, this isn't about Alex Smith. This isn't about Alex Smith had a great year. I mean, listen, he did the same thing he always does.
The real question is, do you think he'd take a pay cut? Because there's no way he stays under that, under that cap number. Because that'd be the first step in him staying here, right?
He'd have to take a pay cut. I don't know. I can't answer that. I mean, if I was Alex Smith, I'd say, listen, thanks for the memories. It's been 5 years here. You know, the best thing for my family, my wife, my kids, is to go somewhere, go to a good team, go to a team that has a nice offense. I could pick the team. I mean, Alex Smith is basically going to pick the team now. If he leaves, the Chiefs aren't going to send him to Cleveland, okay, because he's not going to go. All right, so there you're going to go to Arizona. He may go to Buffalo. Might go to Jacksonville.
I mean, he has to go if they trade him, right? I mean,
well, I know, but I don't think that they're just going to trade him willy nilly.
Well, teams probably aren't going to give up as much for him if they don't think they can sign him to a contract extension.
Right.
What I could have, should have, would have
sent him to the highest bidder.
That's not going to happen. This is going to be a beneficial deal for Alex Smith more than the Chiefs. Just is.
Now
I still think the Chiefs are only going to get a third round draft choice for him, anyways. Maybe if somebody's desperate enough, a second round. They're not getting a first round for him. That's for sure. They're not. Let me say that again. They are not getting a first round draft choice for Alex Smith, even though he is in the mix for being the MVP. The MVP first round draft choices are coveted. Look at us. We're sitting here. How boring is it? We're going to have to sit here for 4 months, 5 months, and talk about the draft without a first-round draft choice. How much does that suck?
Actually, it's great because the Chiefs have the quarterback of the future now, so I'm good with it.
I agree with that. But I'm just talking about, I was looking at the mock drafts. I think the first mock draft came out. And I'm looking for the Chiefs.
They're
not there. But so here, listen. So I think it's good for Alex Smith to go ahead and go on and do his thing. He's got about another 3-4 years left in his career. Go ahead and go on and do your thing. Why would you sit here and knowing that at least 60% of the population of Chief fans want Patrick Mahomes to play?
17 million reasons.
Nah, you know what? I don't get that. You're going to sit there and everything you do is going to be scrutinized. Everything, you're going to hear the crap that, because all it takes is one interception and the Bluebirds are going to come out and Patrick. The Kansas City Chiefs moved up into the top 10 to get this kid. They gave him an opportunity to play against the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos didn't lay down in that game. They played hard. He played good. He won the game. He's 1-0. When's the last time a quarterback from the Kansas City Chiefs that were drafted by the Chiefs won a football game? It's been a long, long time. It goes back to
Blackledge
or Kenny or
goes back
Dawson
to forever.
Or goes back to somebody.
I don't think he's in a hurry to get out of here. With the weapons that are around him and the numbers he just put up in the system, think about if he stayed here, he
knows what the atmosphere around here is. He knows that
he feels that
everybody wants the other guy to be the quarterback.
Almost
everybody.
I was listening to Keats yesterday.
But does the team, what's his daily grind like? Does the players around him, do they want him? That's what matters the most.
Mitchell Schwartz just gave a raving review of him on Monday Morning Quarterback.
There's a faction in that locker room that want him, and there's a faction that doesn't. And that's not a good thing.
Yes.
There's a faction in that locker room that want Alex Smith to stay, the older guys. There's a faction in that locker room. Hey, let's go with the young guns. Let's go with the got Hunt. We got young receivers. We got young running backs. We got a bunch of young guys here. Let's start our own little tradition. Let's start our own little thing here. There's a faction, and that's not good to have two factions in a locker room. Believe me, I've been in that locker room with two factions.
And believe me, Tim Grenhart is speaking the truth right now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Tim Grenhart in studio. Later on, we're going to talk to Gabe DeArmond and Stan Weber and Jesse Newell about college basketball. Also, Jarrett Sutton on college basketball. Perhaps we'll play Listen or Lose later on in the show. But right now, we've got more with Tim Grenhart coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.